Welcome to Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, H.E. Felder, and today the topic is the personal testimony of Nicole Chavis. Now, this show deals with apologetics and defending the faith. However, I a lot of times like to just let people give their testimony because people's testimony is an evidence for the existence of God. Because when we see how God works in a person's life, he becomes real to us. He's not only a God out there, but he's also a God here. He's not only the God that created the universe, but he's also the God that is intimately involved in the daily aspects of your life. So I heard Nicole give her testimony at church one day, and I thought to myself, wow, that is really a powerful testimony, and other people would truly be blessed by it. So I am honored to have you on the show, Nicole Chavis. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Harold. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. And my next question is, what is your testimony?
My testimony is how I was delivered from sin.
It's a good testimony.
Thank you. Thank you. God's grace and mercy.
Okay, take us there.
I was born June 8th, 1973. 3 days after my birth, my mother granted my grandmother custody, which when she gave me to my grandmother was very ill. By the time I was 5 years old, my grandmother was at that time bedridden. I had to fend for myself. There was no one to comb my hair, no one to brush my teeth, no one to wake me up for school. When I ate.
And how old were you?
Five.
And you were doing this for yourself
at five.
At the age of five?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
5 years old. By the time I was in first grade, the teachers, they knew something was wrong based on my appearance. I was constantly taken to the nurse's station. They had a nurse's station, and they often asked questions, is everything okay at home? Just based on my appearance, just was out of order. And I always assured them everything was okay. Everything was okay. Because I knew that they would put me in Child Protective Services. So I hid that for many years. By the time I turned 10, my grandmother died. When she died, I went to live with my biological mother.
What has she been doing all this time that you were living with your grandmother?
Working. She was working, did not want a child. My father abandoned her when she was pregnant. He wanted her to have an abortion. She did not have an abortion. Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
So this is my testimony.
Yeah.
She gave me to my grandmother. And, I forgive her. And I love her to this day.
Now how old was she at the time when she gave you?
She was 19. Okay. She was 19 years old. When I went to go live with my mother after my grandmother's death, I thought, wow, I can take a bubble bath, I have, some heat in the house, this is gravy. I'm looking forward to this. Well, I'm sad to say at that time it went from bad to worse, where I was mistreated, treated as an outcast.
By your mother?
Yes, that is correct.
Did she have other children there?
She later had other children. I have two brothers, and she kept my brothers, and I had to do the adult responsibilities. When she went to work, it was my job to get them off the school.
An adult trapped in a child's body.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
So you were taking care of them, and how old were you at this point now?
At that point, I was 11 years old.
And how were they?
My brothers at that time was, I had a five-year-old brother, and my other brother was not born at the time.
Okay. All right.
Very big responsibility. We get a lot of beatings from her. Like I said, I was rejected as a baby. So, she didn't want me as a teenager. And by the time I was 15, she still didn't want me. I was working a part-time job, trying to do the right thing. I had good intentions to go to college. And she told me that if I couldn't comply with her rules in her house, which was she wanted my paycheck, I worked a part-time job, maybe 12 hours a week. She told me if I didn't like her rules, I could move out. And I took her advice. I felt like enough abuse I had sustained over the years, I would just quit school. So at that time, by the age of 17, I had dropped out of high school and lived on the streets, lived with friends, and eventually found an apartment, had some money saved up, and it got worse for me. After moving into my own apartment at 17, a minor, which I had convinced the landlord at that time, that I still see today, and I always thank him for allowing me to move in that apartment from the streets. I told him, you know, if you let me move in, you'll never have a problem. He said, well, look, you're only 17. I'm not supposed to rent to you. I said, look, I have the money. He saw the money and said I could move in. There was no furniture in the apartment, just a bed. I lived like that for many years. By the time I was 21 years of age, I had turned into an alcoholic. Everclear, Hennessy, gin was my drink of choice. So I enjoyed drinking Court of Old English, Bull.
Now you drank a lot. Do you know why you drank? Because I was an alcoholic too. Did you ever understand why you drank?
It was to kill the pain, all the sadness, all the hurt. It was to numb the pain, but as I later learned, it was a depressant. Made me feel, right. Once the high came down, you'd be in a depressed state again.
Now, I think you also mentioned to me, because we've talked before, about being molested as a child.
Absolutely. I was molested by a adopted cousin. He was adopted into the family. This is when Don't Let Friends Drink and Drive campaigned many years ago. Mm-hmm. And he used that as a tool to get in the house, in my mother's house. Okay, he used that as a tool. So he would go to the liquor store, bring bottles of liquor, and they would drink. And my mother and the cousin would drink. And he would pretend to be so drunk and intoxicated that he couldn't drive. So my mother would say, well, you know, you can sleep on the couch. Well, late on in the middle of the night, he would come into my room and molest me. That is true.
Now, how old were you at this time?
At that time, I was about 12 years of age.
And how old was he?
At that time, I would say maybe in his 40s, late 40s, yes.
And how long did this go on?
It went on for maybe about 6 months.
Now, did your mother ever know?
I eventually told my mother and some family members, but it was just kind of swept under the rug. Nothing was done.
How did you feel about that?
I felt torn. I felt ripped. To be, number one, molested in my own home, in my own bed, and then to finally be able to tell someone about it, and nothing was done.
So then it's no stretch to understand why you turned to alcohol, why you tried to mask the pain, because we see what pain you're starting to mask now.
Absolutely. Speaking of mask, I would like to share with you, this is my past.
Now, what is that?
This is a mask that covers your face, covers your identity. I can see out, I can see you, but you can't see the person that's in the mask.
Now, why in the world would you wear that?
I turned to violence, hanging out with the wrong crowds, very angry, very hurt, very bitter.
So, Nicole, could you show us that again?
Yes. It's not a do-rag, it's not a hat. This is what I looked like at night.
Wow.
This is my past. This is where God delivered me. This is my past on the streets.
That's very powerful.
So if I was to have an altercation with you and you knew me without the mask, I would come back and retaliate with the mask. This was my life. This is how I lived. God is real. Nobody could have delivered me from this because I enjoyed the life that I was living. I knew I was going straight to hell, and it didn't bother me because I continued doing what I wanted to do. Okay. It was my flesh.
Okay.
But then God transformed me. And this is the transformation, John 3:16.
Praise the Lord.
God is good.
Now, how did that start? I mean, you didn't just wake up one day and just decide to turn to crime, did you?
No, it was the drinking. It was the drinking. It was hanging out with other friends who had been hurt as well. It was, you know, not having that family there for me. So I had friends in the street, and we all depended on each other. We were family.
Right, right, right. And you just started gradually getting into crime?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what did that, I mean, how did that happen? What did you do?
In my crime, I've done everything from assault on a government official, fighting the police. I mean, you really have some issues if you fight the people that will protect you.
And you actually showed me your record.
Yes.
And I noted an assault on a government official, felony larceny, communicating threats, 2 counts, simple assault, 3 counts, and assault with a deadly weapon. These aren't all the counts. These aren't all the charges. These are just the ones that I'm mentioning here.
Correct.
What was that like to live that kind of, I mean, it seemed like you were just angry.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of these are just, they're violent offenses.
Absolutely, I was very angry. I was mad at I was a ticking time bomb ready to explode. So whenever an issue arose, having problems in the streets, conflicts, my mentality at that time was to handle my business. And handling my business meant, okay, I'm gonna defend me. So a lot of times people would start things with me and I would finish it. And that was my thinking. They started, I'm gonna finish it. Very out of control.
Now you had the mask. Now you had the mask, but were you robbing? I mean, you don't wear a mask just to go beat someone up. You wear a mask in order to hide your identity because you're doing something against the law, correct?
The robberies, I did not put on a mask, to be honest with you.
Now, I would think those were the times you were putting on a mask.
Right, that's crazy, right? I wore a mask when I had confrontation with people that I knew and they knew me because I was going to go back, and it wasn't over until I got tired.
So you mean to say that you would put on a mask and go and physically hurt someone?
Absolutely.
While you were wearing the mask?
Yes, absolutely.
And you bought the mask specifically for that purpose?
I bought the mask because I hung out with some friends. We carried guns, we carried knives, we had a mask. Anytime, as we would call it in the streets, it would pop off. Okay? When I say pop off, that means at any time you could fight. You could be in an altercation with someone at any time for any reason. For example, road rage. That would have been a pop-off to us. Someone staring us down or making a comment, that would have been a pop-off. So.
Now, for instance, the assault with a deadly weapon, what happened there?
I carried all types of weapons in my presence, from a gun, to a knife, to a box cutter. You name it, I had it on me.
And you actually, I mean, it's an assault with a deadly weapon, so you actually hurt someone?
Yes.
For what?
The fights that I would get in with people or altercations would be something as simple as, okay, two girls, they're dating some guy, and the ex-girlfriend didn't like me. Because I was going, so birds of a feather flock together. So I dated guys who were worse than I was, you know. So a lot of times I had a lot of confrontations with the girlfriends or with women that were in the streets as well.
So that's where a lot of your assaults came in?
Yes.
Wow. So I take it then, because these were from your record, that you did jail time.
Absolutely.
How much jail time did you end up doing?
Overall, I want to say maybe about 90 days. 90 days here and there, you know, getting a bondsman to bonds me out, you know. So I would say the longest time I spent incarcerated was 90 days.
Okay. Well, you're pretty fortunate looking at some of these charges that you had, because you must have had a pretty good lawyer.
You know what? I just think that God was with me,
right,
because it could have been worse. I could have been on snapped.
Yeah,
based
yeah.
on there are five reasons listed there that I shouldn't even be sitting in this chair.
Right.
Because if I was violent and I carried a weapon and I hung out with other street people, I never knew what they had.
Right.
So I always had to have some type of gun or box cutter or knife on me at all times.
Okay. All right. I'll let you continue. I just had to
Sure.
Okay, we've got the felonies and all that type of stuff. And so what else happened? What happened in your life after that? Or I guess doing that?
Well, I remember being in jail, and I remember on a Wednesday night we would have Bible study. And I remember some ladies coming to the jail and telling me about Christ, telling me even though you're locked up behind these cells, that you can accept God right now as your personal Savior. Even as messed up as you think you might be, you can accept Him right now, and He will forgive you. And it's something that I will never forget, and I thank God for the ladies that showed up in the jail.
Yeah, because you probably thought that you weren't worthy of forgiveness. You probably thought, like a lot of people who are probably watching this right now, a lot of people think that God can't forgive me because I've just been too bad. I've done too many things. I am not worthy. So you heard that, and that was good news.
That was good news to the gospel.
All right. And you responded? Or did you just meditate on it?
It has been a process.
Okay.
I you know, that was something that stuck with me, and it was a struggle. It was a process.
Okay. So what next?
Well, I would like to say that that high school dropout turned into getting her GED, and now I have a bachelor's degree in business administration.
All right.
And I'm going to be pursuing my master's degree. So with God, all things are possible. Who would have ever thought the high school dropout, the thug from the streets? I'm where I come from, they call us OGs.
Right, right.
Okay. So there was no thugs who called OGs.
So you said there was a process. What did that process look like?
The process, in order to want to change, you have to want it. You have to want it. The biggest mistake that I made was thinking, okay, well, I couldn't go to Christ because of my past, because I was drinking, because, you know, it was a transition for me. But
right.
Christ said, come as you are, and that's what I did. And He changed me.
Yeah, and that's a very good point, because a lot of people, I've talked to people and I've ministered to people who say that, well, I'm, you know, I don't want to change. And no, it's not about you changing. It's about Him changing you. All you got to do is just give up yourself and say, okay, I'm willing to let you in. And then let Him do the hard work.
Absolutely.
Because you can never clean yourself up enough to be acceptable to God. What you have to do is just come to Him and let Him clean you up to where you are acceptable to Him. And that was done through Christ. All you have to do is accept what Christ did, and you are clean. And He'll go through the process of molding you into the image of Christ, but you can't do that yourself.
Absolutely.
I know, because I was an alcoholic, so I understand.
Yes.
So how are you different now from that person that you were before?
I am different because when I have a conflict, no longer do I fight and take it into my own hands.
What do you do?
Let me tell you what I do. I go to the Bible and I pray. And I say, Lord, you know where I come from. Sometimes I have to learn to walk away and not fight with my hands. So now I apply the Bible, the principles that are in the Bible, in my life. And that's how I'm succeeding.
So have you had any incidents lately where you've lost control?
I lost control with a sister-in-law a couple of years ago. It was an altercation over my brother, and God is good because we have now forgiven each other and moved on.
So now when you're in traffic and mm-hmm. someone cuts you off, what is the difference between the person you are now and the person you were then?
I'm going to give you a good example. Road rage, someone would cut me off, I would follow them. I would follow them to their destination. Anything could happen. I would ask you, I would use profanity. I would be belligerent till I wanted to fight. I had no control. That is a crazy point for you to follow somebody to their destination, whether it was a home, whether they were going to work. If they had pulled over to the side of the road to kind of get out my way, I would pull over behind them.
Wow.
Now things have changed. When someone cut me off in traffic, I say, Lord, I have to laugh because I say, Lord, you know what I would have done. And so I thank the Lord because every time I get into a moment like that, I think about where he's brought me from. And I always talk to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, this is you. He's real.
Right.
He's real.
And that's how you know he's real, because
yes.
when you can look at yourself now and see the difference between what you are now and what you were then, and I can see it in your face. I mean, you just smile because you know that there's been a transformation. You know that there's a difference.
Yes.
And that, you know, that is why I like for people to give testimony, because that is the evidence that God exists. You are evidence that God does exist. The transformation of your life is evidence that God does exist. Now, what about the people that you used to hang out with? Do you have any contact with them now?
My ex-husband. This was a person that I married when I was a hustler, when I was in the streets. That's when he met me. When we married, I thought, okay, you know, I'm very happy, you know, everything I wanted. I thought he would be happy when that time came. I knew God was going to do it. I didn't know when. Because I had a desire in my heart. I knew I wanted to change because I knew either I was going to kill someone or someone was going to kill me, the life that I was living. So when I accepted Christ as my personal savior, my marriage ended.
What do you mean?
My ex-husband supported my hustles. He supported my street life.
Now explain to someone who may not know what you're talking about.
Okay. Hustler.
Break it down a little
okay,
bit.
I'll break it down for you. A hustler, hustler, not a hustler, is a person that will, I sold drugs. I had girls working for me.
You were a pimp?
I was a pimp. Yes, I was.
Wow, okay.
Yes, I had girls working for me. My life, there was so much going on. There was nothing that I wouldn't do or try at that time in my life.
Yeah, and so he that was a gravy train, I guess.
That was a gravy train. That was a ticket because he knew, you know, she'll always provide. You know, if times got hard, she would provide.
So what did he say to you? Did he say, how did this happen? You say, okay, you know, I've come to Christ now. I don't want to hustle anymore. How did that conversation?
Well, when I talked to him, because I knew in my heart, and I would talk to him and tell him, you know what, I want to change, and I believe that God's going to deliver me from it. I believe he's going to deliver me from hustling, from drinking, from smoking. I believe he's going to do that. I don't know when, but I'm praying, and I know he's going to answer that prayer. And he said to me, we'll talk about it when that time comes. That's cold. That's cold. That's very cold. So, you know, I can laugh about it now because I have understanding. God had to move some people out of my life so he could get me at this point
right.
in my life.
So when that time did come and you stopped doing the hustling, what did he say? Did he say, where's the money?
Well, it was a open ticket for him to do what he wanted to do. As he wasn't happy with me, and I could tell. There was no affection. I just felt like, you know, this man cares nothing about me. He see a free ticket.
Right.
And that's what I was. I was a free ticket. And he fed off of my anger and the fights that we would get in. And he is my assault with the deadly weapon.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't have to wear a mask with him.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I mean, because I know there are some people who like drama. You know, there's some people who, so y'all would just fight a lot? I mean, just, I guess, more than just verbally, I guess physically as well.
Absolutely. We would fight each other. Absolutely. Until one would give up.
Absolutely. Y'all would just fight until somebody got too tired or somebody just...
Got hurt or too tired. Absolutely.
Was he a big guy?
Yes, he was. He's an ex-Marine, yes.
Now, did you ever win any of those fights?
The assault with the deadly weapon? I sure did.
Yeah, I guess that'd do it.
And I'm not proud of it. You know, I'm terribly not proud of it. But I look back over it and things happened for a reason. There were things exposed to me in my marriage that I couldn't handle. And it was exposed and I just couldn't handle. And my ex-husband, he knew my past. When my ex-husband and I met and started just a friendship, I'm very honest. I was open about my past.
Right.
Everything that I am discussing with you, I discussed with him. There was nothing to hide.
Have you come across any of your other friends who knew you back from back in the day?
Yes, I have.
And yes, I mean, what do they say?
Only God could have changed me. Only God. And I tell my friends, if God can change me, he can change you. I still have some friends that are still in the world. That are still in the world. That ran the streets with me, that committed crimes with me.
Right. Well, Nicole, this is going to be hard to believe, but actually we've come to the end of the show. I mean, this has been a powerful testimony. I wish I could go on for another hour, but that's pretty much it. And I want to thank you very much for being on the show, my guest, Nicole Chavez, and giving her testimony. And that will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless.
You can find out more about Giving an Answer, as well as listen to other episodes by visiting us online at www.givinganswer.org. For the hope that lies in you.